Nicole drove Uber on nights and weekends to make extra cash. She had college debt, she had plans for the future, and one night she gets a notification that this guy needs a ride about an hour long, and so she would take these, they would pay more, and she picks up this man named Noah. So he gets in the front seat, she always likes to make small talk to make the time go, and people are interesting, she's curious about their lives, and so she asks, where are you going tonight? Well, my great-grandson's first birthday. A lot of family going to be there? Yeah. Where are they coming in from? Well, they're kind of all from Mesopotamia. You guys have Ancestry.com, but you want to hear a little bit about my family? Kind of interesting. He starts talking about how his dad and his grandpa, they lived really long lives, and Lamech and Methuselah, and how every family's got stories. And he says, we had this one family member, his name was Enoch. I didn't know him. He was gone before I was born. But Enoch, the family would tell the story of how he was special. You would say today, spiritual, okay? We said he walked with God. And the rest of our family members, we would have this, like, funeral for them when they would pass away. Not Enoch, because the family stories say that he just walked away. God took him. And now Nicole is gripping the steering wheel, wondering where this night is headed. He says, you know, you want to hear more about my family? Yeah, that's fine. This is interesting. He says, remember how I said that Enoch was kind of close to God? My immediate family was all that way. We would pass down this family story. We believe the world was not the way it was supposed to be, that it should be better. There was not supposed to be sickness or even death. People weren't supposed to treat each other the way they do. We believe God would intervene very directly in our world. And we passed down this promise he had made that he would send a hero into our world and address death and sickness and just the way people treat each other. And so we passed this down from generation to generation. You know, my dad, Lamech, my grandpa, Methuselah, They got to see my kids born. They got to be at their weddings. They met wonderful spouses. My dad actually passed away 5 years before my grandpa did. And grandpa passed away in the biggest year of our lives. But Nicole, I know this is going to be a lot for you, but this is probably the most unique part of my life. Just like Enoch was a really spiritual guy, God made a deal with me. We call it a covenant in our language. You would call it a deal. Like God bound himself to an average guy like me. I was nothing special. I won't tell you the one story that's still told in my family about how my sons I made some mistakes and my sons had to take care of me, but that's for another time. I was far from perfect, but I was close with God. And here's exactly what God said to me. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Nicole was glad Noah gave her a moment of pause to just collect her thoughts. This guy in her front seat just told her he was one of the sole survivors of a global flood. That this God was preserving faith so it would not go extinguished through this man and his family, that he had lived through all that. Noah kept telling the story then. He said, this was the time of our lives. We had our sons, they met their wives. We woke up every morning and prayed. We ate together and we built and we built. We made roads, kind of like you would build a stadium today. And we brought in all this material from all around the world. It was like building a giant bridge. It took years and decades and it took forever. And I pleaded with people to not forget about God, to turn back to God, but people just laughed. Until God shut us in the ark. He closed us in with all these animals, and the rain came, and the water burst from the deep like volcanoes, and it was scary. For 40 days it poured, and we rose above the tallest mountains. And I'm glad God gave us work to do on the ark, because if it was work to build, it was work to take care of those animals. But it kept our minds off of everything that was happening outside. We stayed on there for a year, all with only God's promise to hang on to, that he would save our lives and rebuild humanity through us, and that he would still send that hero one day. I saw this thing God was doing with the flood. It was like a smaller promise that he made to me and my family, and it was the way he was going to keep that bigger promise that he made to all people, to send the hero to address death and sickness and everything that's wrong with this world. Now, this wasn't the first time Nicole had heard stories about a flood. She was educated. She loved to study other cultures, and she knew that other cultures had legends of such a thing happening. One of her professors had put together for her that over 270 references are made like this in the legends of peoples all around the world. The Aztecs had flood stories, the Babylonians, the Epic of Gilgamesh. The details varied, but they all agreed there was some kind of massive flood event that ruined the earth, and that people survived. Then she remembered some professors would even entertain the idea, they'd build models of what this ark could have looked like, more than a football field, but that you could actually build a barge that would tilt 45 degrees each way and not flip over and not sink, and that this thing could withstand such rains and rising waters. Some even in their models included what it would be like to put all the animal families of that time on this boat in pairs to preserve them so we have the animals we have today, and if that was plausible. And the model said over 16,000 animals could fit in half of that size, especially if they're babies and juveniles. Then people came up with what could it have been like to store all the food, to collect water, rain collection systems, to distribute that food, to take care of the waste, and put together all these models, and it was plausible. She almost missed her turn when she got to Noah's destination, but she pulled up to the curb and let him out. And he said, "Thanks for listening to me today. A lot of people just blow me off like I'm nuts. But thanks for being curious about my family and what we've gone through. Do you mind if I pray with you before I leave?" She goes, "Nobody's ever said that to me before." "Yeah, that's fine." Noah just prays, "God, thank you for this woman and the services she provides. Make your promises real to her so she can have deep peace and hope in her life too. Amen." So what does this well-known story have to do with our lives today? So much. I don't know if you hear this often, but I do. People will say to me, "I just can't believe the way the world's going. The world is getting so bad out there. I just don't get it." And I feel for them, and I see your anger and your sadness. I see your anxiety about it, and I feel it too at times. But this remembering the flood reminds us to take another perspective on this, God's perspective of history. This is not the first time the world has gotten like this. It got so bad at the time of the flood, evil had gone unchecked. People had forgotten about God. It was as if God had died. And so when they lost that vertical connection with God, they treated each other horribly, with violence and hatred. That's what happens when you forget about God and don't think you're accountable to anybody and think you can do anything you want. And so this is not the first time, but what did God do then? He intervened. He stepped into the world. He addressed evil. It did not go unchecked. He held people accountable, and he was gracious. He saved Noah and his family and made a way for them to survive all of this so that faith would not be totally extinguished from the earth, so he could still send that promised hero that Noah and his family, they kept on passing down that story from generation to generation. This is a reminder to us that just like God has intervened in the past, he intervened when he sent his son into the world, he will intervene again, Jesus says, when he returns. It will be just like the flood. People won't understand it, they'll ignore it, and all of a sudden he will be here. So the lesson is obvious for us to prepare, not to kid around, to take God seriously, right? Not just to say we believe he exists, but live as though he does not and treat others as though God is not there. But no, to live connected to our baptisms with the promises God gives us in our baptisms. We were baptized because we are inclined towards evil. If God would not intervene in our life, we would be totally selfish, self-serving. We would forget about him. But God intervened very directly through our baptisms. You were washed, you were cleansed, you were forgiven, you were made new, you were made right with God. So just like Noah and his family had it in the back of their minds all the time, these promises God had made to them, as Noah built the ark, the deal, the covenant God made with him that he would save his family, the promise to send that hero one day through their family line. They held on to this promise for dear life. They thought about it as they raised their families, as they went to their sons' weddings, as they went to family funerals, as they built the ark, as they took care of the animals, as they rebuilt civilization afterwards. So you too can think about the promises God's made to you in your baptism. That is the daily power for your life. Now here's how your baptism gives you power. You know your baptism connects you to Jesus. What Jesus has done and what Jesus has won for you. Jesus tossed himself into the waters of God's judgment. Jesus drowned underneath the justice of God. He was held accountable for our sins and failures so that you can be right with God. So that it can be said about you just as it was said about Noah. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless, and he walked faithfully with God. Now we know from Scripture it includes his faults. This doesn't mean Noah was perfect, but he was right with God, and then his life, the way he lived, reflected that. So in your baptism, God actually says this about you, he thinks this about you, he feels this about you. This is the account of you. You are a righteous person, blameless among the people of your time, and you walk faithfully with God. No matter what you're struggling with, No matter what a mess you've made, no matter how this week has been, God says this about you through your baptism, because you are washed, you are cleaned, you are forgiven, you are made new. You are set aside for a special purpose, just like Noah was. Think of what God accomplished through Noah in his time. Saving his family, continuing the promise to send that hero into the world through his family line. That is the power for your life, that through baptism you're connected to Christ, the one that faced the justice of God for you. Now Christ is your ark. He brings you through all the chaotic waves and turbulent waters of this life into life beyond. So hold on to him. Cling to him like Noah and his family did. Have that different perspective on life like Noah and his family did. Have you ever met a person who just has this deep peace and hope and joy to their life and love about them? You can't quite explain where it comes from. Maybe their life is really difficult and they're not getting that from their day-to-day circumstances. That's what Noah was. Think of how hard his life was, all the ridicule, all the work he had to do, what he survived. And that's you and me too through our baptisms. We have a deeper source of hope and peace and joy and love, not based on our day-to-day experiences. And it's found in Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's I-M-M-L-U-T-H.org. Have a great day.